Hey, CC Midweek. How's everybody doing? Feeling nice and cooled off and relaxed in this summer weather? Perfect. If you're not sweating by the time we leave today, we didn't do a good job. That's the goal. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Dear Father, we love you so much. Thank you that you are a God we can trust in all things. I pray that you would open up our hearts to you tonight in a new way. I pray that you would give us the courage to take a step forward in faith with you into the life that you've called and created us for. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I kept seeing this book everywhere, The Let Them Theory. Everywhere I'd go, I'd see it. Everyone I talked to was reading it. So I finally, like, everybody's like, move it up. You have to read it. So I finally broke down and read it. Turns out it was written for me specifically, which is why everybody told me I needed to read it. But I love it because her premise for the book is when you stop trying to control things that aren't yours to control, you stop wasting your energy. She said you reclaim your time, your peace of mind, and your focus, and you realize that your happiness is tied to your actions, not someone else's behavior, opinions, or moods. So she tells a story at the beginning how she kind of had this aha moment. She was getting ready for her son's prom, and she said for her daughters, they had like things planned out months in advance. It was real scramble. Nobody knew what was going on for her sons. They showed up to do pictures. It started pouring rain. Everybody's getting soaking wet. There was no dinner plans. So she did what any mom that's like, everybody pulls out their phone and is like, we got to find somewhere for you to eat dinner. And they're like, oh, we're just going to go grab tacos. And she's like, you can't go get tacos for prom dinner. And it's soaking, raining, and everything's going to be ruined. And she's trying to like get control of the situation. And her daughter looks at her and she said, Mom, stop it. Let him. And she's like, no, you don't understand. Like, everybody's going to get soaking wet. There's, like, nowhere to eat at this no sitting place at this taco place. She's like, Mom, you're being annoying. Let him. Sometimes it's fair, but we try so hard, moms. Amen? Anyone? One mom in this room? And she said, so finally she heard what her daughter was saying. She gave him some cash, let him go have tacos with his friends. He had a great time. But she said it was this aha moment that changed her approach to life. She said when she thinks about almost all the times in her life that she feels stressed or frustrated or tense, it always was regards to other people. She said all of us have this hardwired need for control, and no matter how hard we try, we'll never be able to control or change another person. The only person you are in control of is you, your thoughts, your actions, and your feelings. And this is how she got on this idea, you reclaim your power instead of trying to control people to do what you think you should let they should do, let them. Let them not invite me to whatever everybody else is doing. Let them say something passive aggressive because they don't like how I'm doing something. Let them drive 15 miles below the speed limit when I have somewhere to be on a busy day. Let them be rude. Let them be sold out of the one thing I wanted most and they didn't have it. Let them not be interested. Let them think something terrible about me. Let them have an opinion that I just simply don't agree with. Let them get angry. Let them not text back. She said, that's you releasing the control part, but the second part is what you take responsibility of. And she says, it's let me. This is let me take responsibility for what I do next. Let me take responsibility for what I do, what I think. I can't control other people, but I can control me. She said, your time and your energy are your most valuable resources. Stop giving them away to trivial things that you can't do anything about anyways. And I love this idea because when I think about it, when I think about my own life, it's really easy to get consumed and stressed out and annoyed and overwhelmed. And if people would just do things the way I think they should be doing them, life would be so much better. She said, but when we say let them, we stop trying to control what somebody else is doing. When we say let me, we take responsibility for how we respond. And it's really, really important for how we think about life. And I want to use this idea for thinking about faith in life and who God is calling us to be. So hold on to that for a second. Let them and let me. We're going to look at Psalm 138 tonight. And in this psalm, it's not a very big one. It's King David kind of thinking through who God is and giving thanks to him. Like, he's a God who hears prayers, and he's a God who encourages us and strengthens us and helps us in troubles and saves us when life gets hard. And then at the end, he says this in verse 8. He says, "The Lord will work out his plan for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me." So he's saying, God has this plan for my life, for my future, for my family, for my world, all of history. He's at work, and I can trust him with that plan. But sometimes I read scriptures, and I don't know, maybe you are this way, and you're like, but how, David, can you trust God that he has a plan for your life and that he's in control? Have you ever had that thought before? But how do you know that it's simply going to work out the way that you think that it should work out? And I think when we start asking these kind of questions, we start looking beyond. Sometimes it's easy to just read a verse and say, oh, that's nice, and then move on with life, and it really doesn't do anything in our day-to-day living. Or sometimes we hear an idea and we're like, wow, that sounds really religious and amazing, but it actually doesn't mean anything at all to me, and I don't know how to process it. And so it's good for us. We've been asking hard questions, right? How can David say something like, God's going to work out his plan for my life? And I think our starting point is, where are my mission trip friends at? Who's my mission trip friends here? We learned how to trust in God. It's hard to trust somebody you don't know, right? Like, I wouldn't just walk up to a stranger on the street and be like, hey, here's my bank account number. Everybody would be like, you're going to get robbed blind. And you deserve to be, because you don't give strangers your information, right? But now, after my husband and I were with each other and getting married, we shared our account information because we knew each other, trusted each other, and started creating a plan for our life. See, many of us struggle with trusting in God, not because God isn't trustworthy, but we simply don't know him. We've simply never spent any time with him, and we don't know why he's trustworthy or how we can trust in him. So when we look at the life of David, David spent his life getting to know God. David had life experiences where he did life with God, where God showed up, and he was a better man because of it. And he says, when I think about my life experience with God, here's what I learned. Here's what I know to be true about God. God has a love that is faithful and endures forever. God can be counted on, and his love will never change. Now, again, that's a huge deal, because a lot of us go into a relationship with God like, okay, God's only going to love me when I'm a good girl or a good boy. And when I'm not so good, or do the thing I maybe shouldn't do or didn't want to do or promised not to do, well, then God's not going to like me so much. We go in thinking that a relationship with God is contingent on what I do right and what I don't do wrong, right? Like, we have our scales, like my sin scales, like, did they weigh out today more good than bad? But see, God's love doesn't decrease for me on my bad days, and it doesn't increase on my good days, because God's love is. It's just a constant fact that endures forever. And David said, when I think about God, what I've learned is he's a God who doesn't abandon us. If God created me, if I'm special and matter to God, why would he quit when things get hard? He's not setting me up to fail. He's not in heaven laughing at me, waiting for me to stumble and be like, knew you were going to trip on that one, called it a mile away. That's not God. And when David thinks about what he knows that the same God who has been at work in the past is at work today, and he will be at work in the future. He's God at the beginning, and he'll be God at the end. And every step of the way, he is a God who's in control. But see, this is where a life tension comes in. If God is in control, I'm not. See, if God is God, and he is who he says he is, and he really is powerful and mighty and creator of everything else, he has a vast understanding of how everything works that I simply don't have. And if God is in control and I'm not, I have to struggle with this tension that we feel in life. I can do everything right and life can still go wrong. Maybe you've been there before. I can do all of the things that I was expected to do. I met my quota, my list, my checks off of a good girl, and still life can hurt. and life can be disappointing, and life cannot get me where I thought I should be. And when we're in these moments, when we're facing whether it's disappointment or hurt or struggle or life was never supposed to be this way, can I still trust in God then? When my life feels out of control, when the world doesn't work the way that I think it should, do I still have the faith to say God is in control and he hasn't surrendered his authority in my life or in this world? See, that's where the tension of faith comes in. When life is going how I want it to, it's easy to be like, yes, God is good. God is amazing. I love God. When something bad happens, it's a lot harder to say, God is good. I love God. God is amazing. Instead of, God, what the heck? I thought we were like in this together. I thought you don't abandon us. I thought you're a God who doesn't fail. I thought you're a God who shows up. This doesn't feel like showing up to me. But see, this is really important when it comes to our faith. See, if I have a God that I can understand every single thing about and never have a hard question for, then really what I have is a God of my own making. And the word for that is an idol. I have a God that I can tuck away and fits nicely in my life and my style and my pocket, and I can go on my merry way. But if I have a God that I can't quite always understand, that challenges me, that confronts me with hard things in life, that strengthens, encourages, and pushes me, only then do I have the actual God of the universe who's worth following. But see, that's not easy. I like my easy path, God. I like things to go the way I think they should, and I want you to do what I think a good God should do, and I want you to show up where I think you should show up, right? We've been asking all of these hard questions. But I want to challenge us a little bit tonight. I heard this idea. It was an incredible sermon. And in it, the pastor was talking about, like, really, how do you think about faith? Because here's a good challenge for you. What happens when the thing you've been praying for you think goes unanswered? Do you still believe in God then? He said that's kind of how you start gauging where you are in your faith. The challenge is, do I want God more than what I can get from God? Do I really want God as he is, or do I want God to do what I think he should do for me when I think he should do it? See, that's a challenge, because my easy heart wants God to do what I think he should do because I'm really smart and I really know who I am. Or the tension of faith is, can I still believe in God when things aren't going my way? This is where the tension of life starts to come in, and many of you felt it, right? You felt like, man, I did all of the things. I went to all the Sunday school classes. I checked off all of the lists. How did I get here? Or why do I feel this way? Or the hard questions that we were able to think our way through. Can we really trust in God's plan for our life, right? God has a plan when I don't feel like life is good or it's the way I want it to be. Can I have faith in a God who doesn't do what I think he should do? Can I believe in his love when I feel unlovable? Can I believe he's faithful when I'm not even sure I want to have faith? Can I still believe he's at work when things around me seem to be falling apart? When I'm facing heartbreak, disappointment, sadness, how far does my faith carry me? See, that's where we get to start really thinking through life with God. And I want to give us a couple ways to start this. And then coming up, we're going to have this awesome series here at Midweek talking about faith and how to live with faith and bold faith and what does it look like to trust God. But I want to get our toes in the water tonight. So here's where I want to start us. Number one, we all have to start somewhere. See, it's easy when we read the Bible and we hear these stories about these great people, or we go to church on Sunday and we hear somebody tell an awesome story. We're like, yeah, but that was easy for them. They're in the Bible, right? Like, that was easy for them. They knew Jesus. That was easy for them. Times were different. They're not facing what we face. They always had faith. Of course they would believe in God. He stinking stopped a storm in the middle of nowhere, and why wouldn't, right? Like, we have all these reasons why we think that people in the Bible, it was easy for them and somehow harder for us. But when you start to like ask questions and really read the Bible and evaluate the stories, what we realize is these are human beings just like you and I. They were trying to figure out their everyday life. They were doing the best they could, even when they were facing impossible circumstances. See, we read about a man named King David, and he was king. And he had this beautiful palace and this beautiful country that he lived in. And it's easy to overlook the parts of his life that weren't so golden and special. You know, his family so overlooked him. When a prophet showed up, they went through all the sons and didn't even think to mention David. Like, I've been forgotten by my family, but that's like a next level forgetting. Like, they didn't just leave him behind and left. They're like, yeah, I guess we have another son. He's kind of out in the field right now, but yeah, he counts. We can get him. Like, he was so overlooked, they didn't even think to mention him. And then, yeah, God called him to be king, but he didn't go right from being a shepherd boy to being a king. He went to serving a king who decided he hated him and wanted to kill him. And then he lived in caves in the middle of nowhere with these, like, wild people who he made into mighty men. God bless him. But they lived out in the wilds fighting for their lives. And then he became king, and he was constantly fighting battle after battle after battle. And then it seemed like the battles had been won, and then he had this heartache in his family where one of his sons hurt one of his daughters, and then another son killed that daughter. And then that son decided, you know what, you shouldn't be king, I should be king, and he started a civil war. But see, when we read David's writing, he didn't have faith in God, and then all of that stuff happened. We read his faith in God in the midst of these things happen. See, it's easy to look around us and see, well, they have faith because their life is better than mine. Their life is easier than mine. They've never had to be through what I've been through. They don't understand how it could be with me. We look at people and we think, well, they haven't had to go through what I've had to go through or struggle with what's going on in my mind or my family or my life or my school or my past. And we think that about people, and we miss every day of their life that shaped them into the human beings that they are today. See, we don't see the late nights they spend pleading with God, desperate for a morning. We don't always get to see the internal fights that they go through to just keep going, because sometimes quitting feels like it would be so much easier. See, we see where people are today, and we don't know every single hard step of gritty, resilient faith that it took for them to just be where they are today. We just see the result. We look at people at church, and we're like, well, of course they have it all together, and we miss, because we don't always see what's going on the inside. We don't always see what it looked like when they were 14, or what it was like when they were 17. Or what their 20s were like, or what they had to scrape by and fight through to be the human being that they are today. We all have to start somewhere, and here's where I want you to start. Having faith in God doesn't keep bad things from happening, but it does mean you have a greater resource than you'd ever have on your own when God is part of your life, when you face those bad things. Having faith in God doesn't mean that there's not gonna be bad storms that come and toss you around, but it does mean that you know someone who is greater than the storm, and you can depend on him, and he has a destination that he is getting you to, and he will not let you down. See, what faith does is it gives us the courage to take one more step forward, even when life feels impossible. And it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how any days in between you are, God has the capacity to work in your life right where you are today. And here's what you can always believe, no matter what life looks like, God isn't done yet. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what people who are like, oh, the golden days have passed, you guys don't know how good the world used to be. We read history books. We do actually know how the world used to be, and I'm a little bit thankful that we're not living in those days today. Can I get an amen? All right. There it is. Thank you. All right. Don't believe people who tell you the world's going to hell and everything's terrible. God isn't done yet. He's not done. He's not done in our world, in our family, in our life, in this country, in the future. God has a plan in all of time, in all of history. See, it turns out God created everything, and he knows the beginning from the end. I don't. I know right now. I have this very, very, very tiny little right now perspective on life. But could you imagine a 2-year-old saying to a 50-year-old, this is how it has to be, I know everything? Well, yeah, We've seen two-year-olds, three-year-olds before. They do like to say they know everything. But we wouldn't trust them because they're only three. They don't know what they don't know. But don't you think maybe that God might know what we don't know? And that if he has a vision for all of these things, that maybe when it seems murky to me, he might know more than I know. Doesn't matter how many mistakes I've made. It doesn't matter how many bad choices have come and gone in my life. They are not too much for the infinite loving grace of Jesus Christ. And when we trust in him, instead of having a million reasons why we can't start, a million reasons why we're not good enough, smart enough, any of the enoughs, not like them, I could never be like them. Instead, we can start because God said we can. In every life that we see God calling to follow him, he sees them all the way through to the end. He doesn't ever turn his back on them. Why would he turn his back on us today? The question isn't, is God real? Does God exist? Does God care? The question is, do I have enough courage to take a step forward and believe in him? The question is, do I have it in me to just try and move through life with God and see what he might do? See, I love that we are a church you can ask hard questions. I love that Christianity is a thinking religion and we can think through big ideas and hard concepts together and we aren't intimidated. God isn't intimidated by our big questions. I think it's great. But at a certain point, all the information in the world, all the knowledge in the world is never going to replace the experience of saying yes to Jesus Christ. And we have to have the courage to say our first yes. The only way to experience God is to take a step forward with him. We all start in different places, but every journey takes steps, and you can take one step where you are today. Maybe your step is, God, I want to believe in you more. Help me. Maybe your step is, God, I used to believe, but now I don't. I don't know where to go from here. Maybe your step is, God, I'm trying so hard to believe. Can you help me know you better? Maybe your step is just spending some time with God and reading the Bible and finding out who he really is. Maybe your step is getting in a group and you can be encouraged and strengthened by the faith of others as your faith is growing. Maybe your step is getting back in the game. Life got hard and it got distracting, but God is still there. Maybe your step is, God, encourage me, strengthen me, give me what I need for this next phase of life. We all have to start somewhere. But you'll never be disappointed. You'll never regret taking a step of faith forward with Jesus Christ. It might just be the thing that changes the trajectory of your entire life. Here's the second thing I want us to focus on. We know what we can't control, right? Everybody else? The way the world works, all these things. All right, what can I control? I'm not a victim. You're not a victim. It might have happened to us. We might not have had control of it, but now we get to control what happens next. I have control. There's two areas we can focus on. One, my thoughts. Let's use our let me and let them, right? Let them do what they're going to do, say what they're going to say, be who they're going to be, good, bad, terrible, everything in between. Let me take charge of what is happening in my mind. Let me stop letting my mind spiral into all the unknowns, all the what-ifs, all of the terrible places. Let me stop letting fear and stress take control of my life. Let me start thinking about what's true. Let me start thinking about who God is. Let me start remembering what God can do and what God has a history of doing through all time. Let me remember that God has a grip on things that I can trust in him. See, I don't just have to let every thought that comes up into my head take control. Turns out I can redirect my thoughts. I can refocus my attentions. I can take control of what happens in my head. And if I focus on negative things, if I say negative things to myself, then I'm going to put myself in a negative space. But I get to choose what goes in. What I think about, I can say, no, I'm not thinking about you today. That's not true. That's not real. That's not who God says I am. And I can change my thoughts. And I can change how I talk to myself instead of saying all of the terrible things I let myself say. I could put some boundaries up in my mind. Is this helpful? Then I shouldn't be thinking about it. Is this kind? Definitely shouldn't say it if it's not. You can be clear, but kind. Does it need to be said? Maybe this is just a moment where I say nothing. Can I let it go? Maybe everything doesn't have to be a fight. Maybe I don't have to challenge every single thing that everybody does that I don't like or care for. Can I let it go? I read this awesome idea. What happens to us can cause pain, but it's how we think about what happens to us that causes suffering. I can take control of how I think about what happened to me. And rather than overthinking or unhealthy thinking or wrong thinking, I can change my thoughts and instead think about things in a right new way. Because beyond the stress and worry and anxiety and fear and insecurity and comparison and anger lies peace and well-being and hope. And you can live your life with those things by taking control of what goes through your mind. Let me give you just a couple quick suggestions. Read something. I read a lot of books because there's a lot of garbage that goes on in my head. And I can't just say, hey, stop thinking garbage. I need to replace it with healthy things that help me think differently. So read a new book that gives you a new idea about how to think about you or life or something you're interested in. Or read a book that's challenging. Have you ever read a book where you're like, I need a dictionary. I need some help to read the book that I'm reading. Guess what? It is hard, but the more you do it, the better you get at doing it. And the more you get to span your horizons on new information and new ways of thinking. Read the Psalms. If you want to think about the character of God and who he is, just start in the Psalms and spend some time seeing, who do I know God to be? Why is he trustworthy? I can control my thoughts, and then I can control my response. Turns out, do you ever just blurt the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Anybody ever do that? Turns out it's not helpful all of the time and can actually hurt people. Note to self, if you didn't know, write that one down. It's going to be a keeper, guys. Turns out I don't have to say everything that just bubbles up into my mind. Turns out I don't have to just do every thought that crosses my mind. In the space between what happens to me and what I do next, I have this whole powerful space where I get to choose how to respond. It's just I have to take control of that space instead of my emotions taking control of that space. Because anger is mean and it's loud and it wants to be heard, right? And my anger has gotten the best of me and I have not responded well. I've had to apologize, in fact, for how I've responded. But I have this space where I get to choose, you get to choose how we respond. In life, we experience things and they're either going to crush us or we're going to respond by working our way through it. And when we don't like the outcomes of life that we are experiencing, then we change how to respond. See, that's hard because it's easier to blame things, isn't it? It's easier to blame people. Well, it's my parents' fault, my spouse's fault, my kids' fault, my boss's fault. It's easier to say like, well, I don't have the same opportunity, the same money, the same resources, the same people in my life. I like to blame everything. It's the economy's fault, the weather's fault. Politicians are great blaming stones, guys. It's always their fault. We have all of these things that we like to blame, and while it feels good momentarily, doesn't actually change anything. Then all I am is a victim of what's going on around me, and I have zero control to do anything. They exist, they have an impact on us, but if they were the deciding factor on a successful life, nobody would be successful. And yet every day we read about or know people or see people who've gone through terribly horrible, excruciating circumstances and responded to life differently and made something of themselves. We see people all of the time. You watch the Olympics and it's every story you can think of about what this awful thing that happened to them and how they persevered. Never going to the Olympics, guys. It's a harsh reality. At one point, you just got to accept it. But we see all of these people and these things. If everything else was to blame, nobody would be successful. And yet people are successful. The deciding factor on how to live life well, it's not the external conditions, it's how you choose to respond. And if you want to change the results, you got to change your response. If you want the outcome to be different, your power lies in what you choose to do next. I love this quote from Viktor Frankl. He said, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we're challenged to change ourselves. See, a lot of us have been spending a lot of our time and energy trying to change a situation that's never going to change. we've been putting all of our time and energy and hope and resources into trying to change a person, and we can't. We just actually can't. And when we tried everything else, all we're left with is, how do I change myself? And I wish this was a one-time experience, guys, but it's a lifetime experience, because there's always going to be something more that you can learn how to change and grow in you. But when all you're left with is you, it turns out you can get pretty smart and pretty resourceful. And maybe, just maybe, taking a step of faith with God might be the thing that changes everything else. Maybe that faith in God helps change your thoughts. And they get better because Christ is now a part of them. Maybe that step of faith with Christ might change your responses because you're saying, I have in me one who is greater than anything else that exists in the world. I can do this. And what if, just maybe, taking that one step of faith with God might be the thing that doesn't just change you, but influences the people around you for good? What if the next big thing God wants to do in the world starts with you saying yes in faith and going forward with him? Who knows what he might do next? Who knows what he might start? Who knows what future he wants to create? Because you have the ability to say yes and have faith in what God might do in you. Dear Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would give us the courage to let them be them and to focus on what we can do with you. I pray that you would give us the courage to have faith, try bold new things in this life with you. I pray that, Father, we would take a journey of faith that starts right now today with a step forward, trusting in who you are and what you might do next. Give us the power of control over our thoughts, our actions, our feelings, our emotions. Help us to be the men and women you've created us to be. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.